In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't remember Beatlemania. The crowds that would swarm them when they came into New York or would rush from hotel to hotel. I don't remember it because it happened before I was born. Sorry if that makes you feel old. But Jesus was the first rock star here. We get the story today of how crowds would just appear wherever he went. Much like fans would find out where the Beatles were staying and rush to that hotel, and then the rumor would start, no, he's over here, and they'd rush to a different one. The people came out to see Jesus. They wanted to be part of what he was saying and doing. They craved healing. Unfortunately, our lectionary kind of messes things up a little bit here. If you look at the citation, it's 30 through 34 and then 53 through 56. We skipped over quite a bit, and so it sounds a little weird here. Jesus had sent the apostles out a couple of weeks ago, if you recall, and they came back, and they're like, this is what was going on. It was awesome. And Jesus says, look, I want to hear all about it, but with all these people, we can't even think. We don't have time to eat. Let's go on a retreat. And so they get in the boat, and they try to go far away. But people see them going, and they rush around, and they're meeting him when he gets off the boat. And instead of getting upset that his plans were spoiled, he has compassion on them. He knows that they are sheep without a shepherd. And so he keeps teaching with them. This is where we break, but what happens is it goes into the feeding of the 5,000. They're at this deserted place where Jesus was going on retreat with the boys, and instead they have thousands of people they need to feed. We'll get there. We're going to get it from John's Gospel. Not next week. We're going to be doing the Feast of St. James. But after that, it takes 3 weeks, I think, of readings to get through that part, if you look ahead. But that will come. So we skip over it here in Mark for a bit. And it tells us that they move over to Gennesaret. Now, the important thing here, and it kind of misses out with our reading the way it is, Gennesaret was a Gentile region. And that's important. Heretofore, Jesus had been going amongst Jewish people, people who had been immersed and steeped in the idea of Yahweh as God and of the promise of a Messiah and of the promise of God being their shepherd, like we read in Jeremiah. So our reading from Jeremiah comes at the end of the exile. God's people had been scattered. The kingdoms of Judea and Israel had ceased to exist. But the promise was there. Even though their shepherds had failed them, God would be their shepherd, would call them back. And so Jesus has compassion on the people because he knows that they're shepherds, they're sheep without a shepherd. But then he goes amongst people who don't have that history, who are Gentiles, and yet they still feel compelled to come and see Jesus. They know that there is healing in Jesus. And that's what Paul is talking about to the church at Ephesus in our reading from Ephesians. That he talks about that even though they were once far off, even though the world used to be separated into circumcised and uncircumcised, in Christ, that's been torn down. God had given the law to form a people, and it had worked for centuries. But in Christ, the law is fulfilled, abolished, Paul says here. Not that it wasn't good, not that it didn't do good things, it formed a people. But that time had passed because we had something better than the law. We had Jesus the Christ. That's what Paul is trying to explain. Just the same way that the Gentile people would come to Jesus, would flock to him like a rock star. Still, God's call went out to all people, whether under the law or not. That the law wasn't what defined a person in the family of God, but in the love of Jesus Christ. That in Christ, that distinction between the circumcised and the uncircumcised, between the Jew and the Gentile, breaks down. That God's plan didn't end with forming a people through the law. That they were living in a time when God's plan was coming to its climax in Jesus Christ. that Christ had come to unite Jew and Gentile, to make the promises of God available for all people. And these are not new promises. They've been going on since the Old Testament, through the time of the prophets. They had promised that God would raise up a king to unite all nations. And it's Paul who realizes that's what's going on in Jesus Christ. Paul, of all people, Paul, who had persecuted the church, who had hunted down those who had the temerity to follow Christ, those who dared shake the foundations that he held and thought were so secure. Paul was rocked to his core by these people following Christ. You don't need the law? That's impossible. Paul was a Pharisee. The law was what it was all about. But God opened his eyes, literally. Scales fell from his eyes, and he saw the role of the law and that it had been fulfilled. It had been done. And the time of separating out us and them was over. That through Jesus Christ, that barrier had broken down, and God was ready to bring all the world into his embrace. To bring to the throne of David that king that had been promised for so long. Not a political figure or a military figure, but a righteous figure. Christ the King, who unites all people in his love. Now granted, you look around these days, you don't see unity. You don't see a lot of people coming together. Even at our best, Christianity is fractured into thousands of denominations, and we don't always get along with each other. But that's because of us, not because of God. In Christ, we are all one. That's one of the things I love about the Episcopal Church, that we understand that there is one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and we're a part of it, and so are the others. This is just the way we do church. We're not saying we're the only way. We may be the best way, but we're not the only way. Other folks have their way, and it's okay. But what we know is that when we come here, when we gather together as the body of Christ, we can find God. And then we sing God's praises. And we pray to God. And we be in communion with God and with each other. We come up to the altar rail and share in the body and blood of Christ, that we all may be one. So our job is not to point out the differences. It's to celebrate what unites us. There are plenty of people who are totally willing to point out every little difference that there can be amongst others. But we have one thing that unites us, and that is the love of God in Christ. And that triumphs over everything, no matter what it may look like at times. That is our hope. That is our faith. The love of God in Christ is for all of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.